Come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I would like to welcome you all to another broadcast of Advancing the Kingdom Radio. I am Apostle Lionel Blair, along with my wife, Apostle Jasmine Blair. Amen. We are excited today for what the Lord has definitely placed in our spirit, what He's been speaking to us. My wife and I, we was having a discussion, a very good one, just the other day. And a lot of times when we have our discussions, the Lord begins to revelate to us. He begins to speak to us. That's why I love our conversations. And in our conversation, you know, just the subject of, you know, joining churches came up, and, you know, we just discern the Spirit of God all in the conversation. I tell y'all, I'm telling you, when my wife and I start talking about stuff, God starts speaking. Amen. And we had already planned to do a broadcast this day on Monday. I know we haven't done one in a while. Y'all forgive us, don't stone us. Amen. We've been very busy ministry wise, amen. But we're gonna, you know, be bringing these to you more often. But one of the things that, you know, I want to say is this: you know, when it comes to joining a church, because this is what the Spirit of the Lord told us to release today. When it comes to joining a ministry, I want to say something real quick, and this is something that we had talked about. When it comes to joining a ministry, some people join ministries out of convenience and not out of purpose. And what I mean by purpose is, you know, some folks would rather be comfortable than to be challenged to mature. Amen. Amen. And this is something that we're going to address today too. You know, some people join because, you know, the praise and worship's good. You know, the word is positive and inspirational, and, you know, or they got a big youth ministry or whatever the case may be. These are the reasons why people decide to join ministries. But this is not the reason. This is not the reason to join a ministry. Amen.
Amen.
This is not the reason to join a ministry. And so many times we get caught up in the hype of how it looks, you know, and this is why it is good for a while, but then after a while some of y'all be like, you know, I'm not growing, you know, I'm not being utilized, is what some people say. You know, as some people don't need to be utilized. Let's just be honest. Some folks don't need to be utilized. Amen. So Apostle, let's talk about this for a second.
And you said something so key in just talking about the different reasons why people join ministries. And Apostle, don't fall out the chair, but believe it or not, I've heard somebody say they joined the ministry because the pastor was fine.
Oh, Lord. Stop playing.
Never mind the fact the pastor was already married, but they joined the ministry because the pastor was fine. Oh. Well, I can listen to that word because he is good to look at.
Uh-huh.
So people join ministries for all kinds of silly reasons. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The different reasons why people join ministries. And the thing is, we don't really take the time to evaluate such a decision.
Yes.
People join ministry sometimes the way they would go in a grocery store and pick a broom or dishwashing liquid. Well, it doesn't matter. They all do the same thing anyway.
Wow.
Oh, this one smells good. I'll pick this. Oh, this one's on sale today. I'll pick that one. Oh,
wow.
This is a 2-for-1 deal. I'll get that. We don't really take the time to evaluate such a serious decision.
Uh-huh.
And there can be repercussions for that. I want to read something to you all quickly from Hebrews chapter 13, mm-hmm, and at verse 17. Hebrews 13,
one of my favorite scriptures,
verse 17, and it says, I'm reading out the New American Standard Bible. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Now, there are a lot of ways that we could go with this scripture, but the part that I want to focus on tonight is the part that says, for they keep watch over your souls,
yes,
as those who will give an account. Understand that your leader or leaders are supposed to keep watch over your soul. Now, I don't know about you, Apostle, but I just don't want any old body rinky-dink Joe Smo down the street keeping watch over my soul.
Exactly.
That's a very serious decision.
Hmm.
See, because we're still in the season, Apostle, where a lot of exposure has taken place within the body.
Yes.
And I feel the anointing. There is much more exposure that will take place.
Yes.
There are still undercover scandals and undercover affairs and adultery and swindlings and business dealings that will be exposed in this season.
Yes.
And when these kinds of things are exposed, everybody's, oh, I'm shocked, I'm appalled, he's supposed to be a man of God, she's supposed to be a woman of God. But how much time did you take in the beginning to inspect the fruit of who you said you wanted to watch over your soul in
Uh-oh.
The first place?
Come on.
Did you really take the time to inspect that fruit initially, or did you just go ahead because it looked good on the outside?
Come on.
Well, it looks shiny and red. That apple must be good. Can't be nothing wrong with it. Look at it.
Uh-huh.
When not really inspecting it, you can see deep down inside, you don't see the brown, mushy parts.
Exactly.
Where it's rotten from the core.
Come on, come on, come on.
So the thing about it is this, you know, when these big scandals are exposed, everybody's in an uproar and the church members are so hurt and you know, well, I just can't believe this and this. But I submit to you this, if you really are taking time to pray for your leader and lift your leader up like we ought to, then the Lord will show you either where they're battling with some. Yes, the Lord's not going to show you everything. But the Lord may show you whether they're dealing with a certain amount of warfare, or if it's somebody that's not doing right and God is going to expose, he will show you that. So you can get away from that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave that there because that could be a whole nother topic in itself.
And like you said, they watch over your soul. That first of all, that's the function of any leader that you are to submit under.
Mm.
You know, because see, some folks now, Apostle, some folks come to church and they say, well, God sent me to help the church.
Mm-hmm.
God sent me to help the pastor. Now, you already know, we've heard that before.
Oh, yes.
People have come to our ministry saying, oh, God sent me to help. But then they act like they don't got to submit. First of all, no. God might have sent you there to help, but first and foremost, he sent your butt there to submit.
And have your soul watched over.
And have your soul watched over and to receive your impartation that's going to take you to your next place.
Amen.
In God. So a leader is called to watch over your soul. So once again, the question is presented. You don't want no any and everybody watching over your soul, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to read something, Apostle, real quick before we go any further into this. I want to read Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 11. I'm going to start at verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So first of all, you're supposed to be equipped for the work of the ministries. I know some of y'all just went, and y'all didn't sit nowhere long enough to be perfected for the work of the ministry. But if you work in the ministry, and God has not used a man or woman of God to perfect you, then I can guarantee you, you're disqualified.
Mm.
It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, edification is good. It has its place. Amen?
Amen.
It shouldn't be your whole ministry, you know. You know, that's not all what the fivefold is for. Some of us just like edification, 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 but we don't like to grow and mature.
Uh-oh.
It says here, until we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Okay? First of all, I want to present this to you real quick before we go even any further into this. There's at least four references to maturity in what I just read to you.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
There are four references to maturity. So when choosing a ministry, you want to make sure that it's a place where you can grow and mature in God.
Mm-hmm.
Not where you're comfortable. That's a red flag if you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us join the church because we like the chandeliers.
Mm-hmm.
We like the way the pastor preach. Oh, he preach, he touched my spirit. Oh, he touched. No. He touched your flesh. Amen. So there are, truth be told, now let me say this. I said this Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. There are too many overgrown baby Hueys in the church.
Amen.
You big enough to be somebody's mama or daddy, but you still wearing diapers.
Mm.
Somebody still got to wipe your behind and feed you a bottle. Some of us are too old for milk.
Mm.
But you love milk because it make you comfortable. Uh-huh. It don't challenge your digestive system. Good God Almighty. To break down a more solid food. Lord have mercy. And then those that drink milk, even after you grow up, after a while you drink milk, you're going to constantly be hungry, thirsty, mm-hmm. because you ain't getting enough nourishment no more.
Uh-oh.
Because physically, you've outgrown just milk. Hear me in the spirit. So it's the same thing in the spirit. Some of us been in church for years and years and years and years, and some of y'all feel like, you know, the word that you're receiving at the church that you're at is no longer satisfying you. It satisfied you at a certain place, but now there's no more. You want more, but there's not more that's given. It's the same old recycled milk.
That's it.
And see, you want a ministry, you want to choose a ministry, you know, that will help you to grow and to mature beyond milk. And yes, you know, some people say, well, you know, I'm just sitting and I'm waiting on God. But honestly, God ain't going to tell you every little thing. Sometimes he gives you wisdom to discern for yourself. I know we want God to drop everything out the sky, but it's certain things that he gives us. Come on now, he gives us free choice, right? He gives us wisdom. So sometimes looking by wisdom and judging things by the word of God, you can discern what would be a good place for your soul to be fed.
Amen.
Amen. There are too many people that are joining churches for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love the praise and worship. Ooh, the word was good. Ooh, the word was good. And then 5 years later, you're dissatisfied with the word.
Mm.
Or 5 years later, you're still stuck in the same spot.
Mm.
Something wrong with that too. You're not challenged to grow. The fivefold ministry is for your perfection. And let me say this too. If a church does not embrace and move in the prophetic, believe in the apostolic, or receive an apostolic impartation from apostolic leaders, amen, that's not a church to be at either.
Mm-mm.
If they don't believe in signs and wonders, prophecy, casting out devils, healing the sick, that's not the place for you to be either.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. And that's so key, because convenience is not what God is calling us to in this season. He's calling us to a place of uncomfortability.
Amen.
In a good way.
Yes.
So anything that's convenient for you, there's a good chance that that's really not for you. Another one that I want to touch on. When you're discerning which ministry to join, don't join a ministry just because friends or family are there.
Oh, come on.
And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this.
Yes.
See, because there's nothing wrong with wanting all your family members saved. That's a good thing. You know, yes, you should pray for them and want them to be in God and developing and who God called them to be and be working towards the restoration of their soul so they can earn their place in the kingdom. Amen. The Amen. Right kingdom.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. However, that doesn't mean that everybody in your whole family, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your grandma, your great-grandma, your uncle, and your grandniece, that doesn't mean everybody is called to join the same ministry.
Amen.
Some people have this hope, and their heart is in the right place, but that's a demonic hope.
Come on.
See, because I've seen situations, Apostle, where people are mad at people. Well, What's wrong with my church? Doesn't mean that anything's wrong with the ministry that you attend that's feeding your soul. But the ministry that's feeding your soul may not be good enough for your son.
Come on.
May not be good enough for your sister.
Or maybe their destiny is tailor-made differently.
That's it.
Good God Almighty. See, some people have a different tailor-made destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why it takes a certain level of leadership. Don't mean they necessarily have to be higher.
Right.
Or just a different expression or different manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Some leaders flow differently from others. Every leader ain't called to be like your leader.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. You have to find the one that's grace for you. And that's the problem. That's why so many ministerial relationships end, because you join a ministry or you come up under a covering for convenience only.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that may sound good. Oh, they flow in signs and wonders, so I want to flow in signs and wonders too. Mm-hmm. Oh, they flow in prophecy, so I want to flow in prophecy too. So I'm going to sit under that and I'm going to become a son. And then after that time is up, because it was only supposed to be a seasonal impartation,
mm-hmm.
after that time is up, all of a sudden now, you are disappointed and the relationship ends.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. And so this is why we have to understand everybody in our family is not called to go to the same place that God has called us to.
Amen.
Their destinies are different. You can have four people in the same household and all four of them can have four different destinies.
Uh-huh.
And they may require four different types of leadership in order to not only watch their soul, but address certain issues and raise them up and to perfect them in the way that they should go. And this is what we have to understand. If somebody does not want to join, they're looking for a church, and you say, oh, well, come to my church, come visit my ministry. They might come visit and they say, okay, that's not the place for them. Don't get offended.
Amen.
That just may not be the place for them. It doesn't mean that your leader is out of order or wrong or got some secret scandal going on. Maybe that's just it. That your leader, the person that God has designated to watch over your soul, is not the person that God has designated to watch over their soul. Amen. And see, we have to get rid of this spirit of offense.
Come on.
Because there are a lot of people in the body of Christ that are not satisfied until everybody in their family goes to the same ministry. Well, you need to come to my church. No, they don't.
Exactly.
Honestly, as long as they're working out their own soul salvation, that's good enough for me.
Amen.
As long as I know you're not going to hell, that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're working on not going to hell, that's good enough for me. That's good enough. They don't have to go where you go, where God has called you to be. Maybe that's not it for them. And this is what we have to understand, too. Certain leaders are called to reach certain people.
Amen. Come on.
So, you know, and I say this in all sincerity, which may be good enough for somebody's 65, 70-year-old grandma, may not be what a 21-year-old needs.
Amen.
They have different needs in the spirit. They're in different places in life. And whoever is catering to that 65, 70-year-old may not have the capacity. Not saying they're unqualified. Not saying God can't use them. But for what that 21-year-old needs on a regular basis, that leader may just not have that.
And I'm going to tell y'all something, too. We've had whole families persecute us. Because they're grown children, grandchildren, or niece, or nephew, or whoever, now grown now, wanted to come to our church. And they didn't want to go to the family church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people finding our phone numbers, calling us, harassing us, leaving all kind of nasty messages. Even pastors,
mm-hmm.
even pastors calling us, you know, getting nasty and unruly. Amen. All because one person decided they want to take charge of their own life and really hear from God concerning their own destiny and stop letting their family try to dictate what God is saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
So all this old family church stuff, all of that don't always fly.
Mm-mm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's definitely, you know, not the order of God. You will notice in the Bible, Apostle, and we talk about this often, you will see a constant pattern that everybody God used to do something great, he caused them to separate from their family.
That's true.
He told Abraham, and I'm paraphrasing, to pick up and go to a strange land.
Uh-huh.
He had to separate from his family. Moses was separated from his family at birth. Samuel was separated from his family by the time he was weaned at 3 years old. He was entered into the priesthood under Eli. He was separated from his family. David was separated from his family at a young age.
Yep. Jesus. Jesus too.
The disciples. They had to pick up and leave.
Come on.
In one instance where Jesus came to get the two brothers, it said they got up and left their business and with the father still in the boat. They had to separate and pull away. Doesn't mean you won't be around. Don't mean you will never talk to your family again. But everybody God used to do something great, he calls them to separate from their family. So, because what he was doing with them was different.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we have to understand, because there are some of you on this line right now. God has not brought you to that place, but your season is coming. Well, you will have to separate from your family if it's not already here. And they may not understand. They may try to persecute you. They may say this about you and that about you. Well, I thought you were supposed to be some Christian. Don't the Bible say love everybody? You have to ignore all of that and forsake that.
Amen.
For greater. You have to come to a place in God where you're willing to forsake that for a season so God can do what he needs to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, your soul is more important than people's feelings and opinions.
And separation don't always mean necessarily isolation.
Amen.
But it means that God has set you apart for specific work, and that is what has your focus. And you cannot meet none of the demands that your family may try to put on you.
Amen. And here's what else we have to understand with this too. Even when Jesus' family came looking for him, he said, who is my mother and who is my brothers? And he looked over at his disciples. He said, these are my mother, my brother, and my sister. So understand this. When we are entering into the kingdom and we wish to serve in the kingdom of heaven, God defines different family differently than the way that we do.
Come on.
God does not define family as your natural paternal lineage and maternal lineage and what they would call your immediate family. God defines your family by who is doing the will of the Father. So if you are going to embrace the kingdom and to embrace what God has for you, you have to learn to kingdom prioritize what's in your life. Meaning that your brothers and your sisters that are in the ministry where God called you to and told you that that leader was to help watch over your soul and give an account for you, they're to come before your natural family.
Mm-hmm.
That's your family. That's who you should be focused on when it comes to prioritizing in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people, and I feel this, especially younger people, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. You have to get delivered from the fear of disapproval from your family.
Come on.
God has not called you to the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
That's right.
You have to have a sound enough mind to be strong in the Lord and to walk firm in what he has given you. That despite the disapproval or the dissatisfaction of your natural family members, you're willing to forsake their opinions for the greater that God wishes to bestow upon you and where he's trying to bring you in your kingdom destiny.
Mm-hmm.
That is very vital in which ministry you choose to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another one that really threw me for a loop, because I've heard this one often. Don't join a ministry just because it's like the one you grew up in.
Uh-oh.
Now, let me say this. It doesn't mean every ministry you grew up in was bad or wrong or all out of order, but many times when I hear this one, Apostle, well, I joined this ministry because it's just like the one I grew up in. This is by somebody that grew up in the church and then left the church and went out in the world for X number of years. And now you're trying to come back to God. And what are you going to do? Go back to the very same template that could not help you sustain your walk and relationship in God in the first place.
Uh-huh.
If you left that ministry style to go into the world, why would you try to go back to that same thing?
Uh-huh.
The dog cannot go back to the same vomit. It does, but it shouldn't. Don't go back to, and understand, this is not speaking about that particular ministry. This is speaking about you. We have to come to a place where we're honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not enough there to keep you, then do not go back to that same model, that same style of ministry.
Yes.
You need to go find something different and unfamiliar and peculiar to you that's going to make you uncomfortable.
Amen.
Because it's in that place of comfortability that's going to cause you to slip right back into that compromising lifestyle that you were in before you decided just to give it all up and go in the world anyway.
Uh-huh.
Do not become a repeat offender in that case because you keep going back to the same environment.
Yes.
You need a different spiritual environment that's going to help you grow in that.
Mm.
Another thing that I want to look at. And this one is a common one, too. And we have to be careful with this. Do not join a ministry just because you feel like you ought to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Many times I will meet people and they're in transition apostle. You know, they just left a ministry. They just got out of a situation, whether it be good or bad. And they're like, okay, I got to be somewhere. I got to be somewhere. They'll visit a ministry about two, three times. They'll join. Well, I had to be somewhere. I had to be somewhere where I could be accountable and get the word. I had to belong. I had to be connected. I had to be a part of the vine.
Yeah.
Understand that you cannot join a ministry out of compulsion.
Come on.
That's a spirit of a fear as well. In a sense that you're so scared that you're going to be so out of line if you're not somewhere. Now, yes, accountability is important. But if you're in transition, you need to take your time. And any leader worth their salt ought to encourage you in that kind of, that's a red flag too. If you make it known to a leader or leaders that you're in transition and all of a sudden they just try to pull you quick to join their ministry, that's a red flag. You need to run.
Yes.
Because any leader with integrity that's upright and upstanding ought to have enough of character of Christ in them to say, look, you know what? You just came out of this situation. You just left this ministry. You're welcome to come visit my ministry as much as you like, but just give it some time and visit around and really hear from God before you pick another ministry.
Yeah.
Any leader with integrity ought to tell you that. Instead of, oh, you're in transition. See, the Lord sent you here because you spoke. No. Because they should understand as well as you should understand that this is not a light task.
Yes.
And you cannot be out of fear compelled to hurry up and join a ministry because you're so scared something's going to happen and you don't want to be out there in the cold by yourself.
Come on.
It's not a sin for you to sit at home for a couple months and hear from God and get some deliverance in, because in a lot of cases either you need to be detoxed from something or you might have some hurt that went on that you need to be healed from and delivered from anyway before you proceed to join another ministry. It's not a sin for you to stay home, hear from God, continue to fast and pray and read and to get some deliverance in so your mind can be clear. And actually, I would recommend fasting in that, really. So your mind can be clear so you can make a sound, conscious decision about what ministry you need to go be a part of next.
Uh-huh.
What needs to be your primary place of fellowship next? That is not a light decision because, again, this person is supposed to assist in watching over your soul and assist in giving an account to the Father on your behalf.
Uh-huh.
Take the time to make that decision properly. Do not just feel so compelled to hurry up and to rush into something else just out of a place of fear.
Uh-huh.
Because that happens to a lot of people. And then you end up in the ministry, and all of a sudden they got you busy doing this and busy doing that. And this is really sometimes, Apostle, how a vagabond seed is planted.
Come on.
Because you hurry up and go somewhere, but then you never really got the deliverance that you needed, and it's not quite right. So then you get away from there. But then out of that fear of not wanting to be wrong or out of order, you hurry up and go somewhere else. And because nobody loved you enough to tell you the truth, you have this hurry up and go here, but this ain't right. Hurry up and go here, and this ain't right. Hurry up and go here, but this ain't right. Next thing you know, you've been to 4 or 5 churches in an 18-month period. Because you're rushing and not taking the time to hear from God and make a sound decision. A sound decision is very key in that. Do not feel like you're rushed. You got 72 hours to come join another ministry or else. Take your time. If it takes you 6 months, if it takes you 8 months, if it takes you a year before you find another ministry that is suitable to watch over your soul and to help you grow in moving forward in your kingdom destiny, then so be it. Take that valuable time to make a conscious, sound decision. Your destiny depends on it. Now, another one, and Apostle, you're going to laugh at this, and this is truthfully very annoying to me. Don't join a ministry just because they serve food all the time.
Oh, Lord.
And so I hear some of y'all on this line laughing, but this is serious. Because I've seen people, I mean, I lie to you not. There was this particular individual one time, and they had a calendar. I think it was about, I want to say, 3 or 4 churches that they would visit in a week's time.
Wow.
Because this one served food this day, this one served food that way. And then the person had the audacity to say, I'm going to cut my grocery bill in half. That is so out of order. That is so out of order. Do not join a ministry just because they're serving food all the time.
Like gluttonous. No difference.
Because see, while you're busy feeding your gut and busy feeding your belly, your spirit man is anorexic right now.
Come on.
You're going to a place where you're not receiving quality meat in terms of the word. Don't join a ministry just because they're cooking all the time. Really, some of those places you need to be leery of, because you have to discern the spirit of who's cooking that food.
Exactly. Come on.
And we've talked about this before. Apostle and I, we don't eat from any old body. And those of you that know us or are part of our local ministry, you all know that we may go out, but we believe in cooking food.
Amen.
You have to discern the spirit of who's cooking, because I'm going to tell you, the spirit of the person affects the outcome of the food. And if you have somebody that's dabbling into divination or witchcraft, that can cause sickness and problems in your body, because they're releasing that over the food that they're preparing.
Also, if somebody is cooking for you, and I'm pretty sure some of you can really relate to this. You have somebody cooking for you, and they don't really care for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they cook your food in the wrong spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Your belly may swell up, or you start feeling all kind of crazy and sick, or you may just feel all discombobulated after you ate their food.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because just like the heart of the authors, the spirit of the authors on the music, the spirit of the cook is on the food.
That's it. And there are some situations, you know, where you have people in these ministries that are undercover witches, undercover dabbling in divination and all this other stuff, and they're releasing this over the food. So don't just be quick to join somewhere because you have to eat. And again, that is a fleshly issue.
It is.
If you're always hollering about, oh, this church serving food, well, I'm going to stay after church today for the prayer meet because I know it's going to be food and this and this and that. Honestly, you need to go on a fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so in tune with your gut. Understand, eating is a part of life. We need to eat to survive. But that's also a natural fleshly part of our being.
Yeah.
So if you're that in tune with your gut and your belly, oh, I got to eat, oh, they're serving this and this, chances are, That is a symptom that you are too in tune with your flesh, period.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is you, then I would encourage you to take the time and go on a fast so you can get delivered from that. So when you're in these places or whatever God is doing with you, you can think clearly from the mind of Christ,
uh-huh,
not from the mind of your flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Don't join a ministry just because you know no one will hold you accountable for your carnal lifestyle.
Oh, Lord. Yes, indeed. Come on.
Now, this was a touchy one, but I have to go here, Apostle, because the thing about, especially somebody with a vagabond spirit or somebody that feel like, oh, you know what, well, I'm not being used and they're coming up against my ministry. Oh, if I had a penny every time I heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who does not want to be held accountable, or they're dealing with sin in a particular area and they do not want to be held accountable or addressed for that particular thing, a lot of times what that person will do is join a larger ministry Mm-hmm. Because nobody's going to hold them accountable. Now, understand, I'm not saying every large ministry is bad. I'm not saying that every large ministry does not hold people accountable. But let's be honest. It's not rocket science. It's easier to hold a ministry of 50 people accountable than it is a ministry of 5,000.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's something, like I said, I'm not against large churches. And so that is ordained by God in certain instances. But that model is still being perfected. The model is still being perfected to have a better accountability system that's in the form of the early church that's not bureaucratic and legalistic. Amen?
Amen.
So, that being said, it's an unfortunate downside to having a particularly large ministry, even not necessarily in the thousands, but even if we're looking at 500, it's a bit more difficult to keep up with every single person, especially when you have somebody that might come to church and then not come for 3 or 4 weeks, then they'll pop in here and there, but say I'm a member, but they're not really consistent. It's harder to keep up with those people.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, there are sometimes people knowing this, they'll leave a smaller ministry because their stuff is being addressed.
Uh-oh.
And it's uncomfortable. And that's why the leader talking about me. Well, this is, no, the word is not about you, but it's just cutting your flesh because that's an area that you need to work on.
And one thing people do not like is to be held accountable.
Amen.
Folks don't like their personal business dug into.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like hands-on stuff. See, you can tell because, see, them the main folks that got something to hide.
Mm-hmm.
They always got something to hide. You see, and we run across many people, you know, they was all right with us until the prophetic started exposing them.
Uh-oh.
And then they heard them and got from around us.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You know, as like I said earlier, part of maturity is having your flesh challenged.
Mm-hmm.
The fivefold ministry is called to mature you, not to babysit you. Let you sit there and be a baby Huey. It's time to grow up and mature. That means that, you know, stuff that's in you got to be exposed,
mm-hmm,
and uprooted. I'm not saying exposed to your humiliation or embarrassment, but exposure to bring light to it so that it can be identified and uprooted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks don't like they stuff tapped into like that. You know, just preach good to me and just leave me alone.
Pretty much. And prophesy good to me.
Don't say nothing about my fornication.
Uh-oh.
Don't say nothing about my pornography.
Uh-huh.
Don't say nothing about my masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say nothing about me making babies out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say nothing about my cussing problem. Uh-huh. Don't say nothing about my stealing problem.
My sipping.
Exactly. Don't say nothing about me gambling, playing the lottery. Uh-oh, some of y'all still do that, but still trying to believe God. But anyway, don't say nothing to me about my dishonest gain. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say nothing to me about that. Just preach good to me. Just tell me that every day is going to be a good day. You know, you don't have to be sad. You don't have to be angry. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. The devil is a liar. Amen. You need to go to a place where your word is, where your flesh is going to be challenged. And where you're going to be challenged to grow. Not saying that large churches can't do that, because there are some large churches that preach the truth. Amen. And the people there are genuinely challenged. Amen. But many nowadays, people escape accountability. People escape having their mess exposed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not for your shame. Don't get me wrong. It's not for your shame. You know, but it's for your deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
So our spiritual sons and daughters will tell you sometimes we got to get all up in their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So sometimes the only way you can bring deliverance is to become personal with somebody's situation.
Mm-hmm.
Come personal with the condition of somebody's heart. You understand? Not for the purpose of control, but for the purpose of deliverance and liberation.
Amen. And that's what we have to understand. People will leave a ministry right when they know their stuff is getting ready to be addressed, and they'll join another ministry. Well, I thank God for this ministry because they show love.
Oh, Lord.
So you equate not addressing your sins as showing love.
Come on.
Leaving you loud and wrong and potentially on your way to hell is showing love?
Come on.
I don't think so. But we've gotten the message of the gospel so twisted that we are comfortable with somebody not addressing our issues. That's not love. Your leader, who's supposed to watch over your soul and give an account, should love you enough to tell you the truth in love that you mm-hmm. need to let this go. You need to put this down. You need to stop this. This is not benefiting you. This is not profitable for you. This is not going to help you reach a height in your destiny in the kingdom, but rather it is a hindrance to your deliverance and will cause you to be ineffective and broken in leading people in the future. You should want somebody to love you enough to tell you that truth in love. Though it may hurt, receive it with gladness so that you can move forward in the way that God has called you to be.
Amen.
But this is what we have to come to. People will say a ministry is real or down to earth because they compromise in certain areas.
Come on, say that, say that.
You know, because they can't get away with whatever it is they feel like they can get away with. I was talking to somebody one time. They said, I don't like going to churches with prophets or where they got all that prophetic stuff going on. I said, well, why is that? Because they might see something I'm doing. Well, what are you doing that you don't want nobody to find out? Did you ever think you might need to stop whatever it is you're doing? I mean, they avoid interest. If they hear prophecy, they avoid that ministry. They go to ministries where they're blind in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, I say this in all love and all sincerity and all seriousness. If this is your motive when discerning what ministry to join, then you might need to rethink, do you really want to walk with the Father for real?
Come on.
Do you really want to be in the kingdom for real? Because Galatians 5 talks about the deeds of the flesh are manifest and obvious. When those things are addressed, people say it's not love, or it's not real, or it's harsh, or, you know, that was a hard word, or that hurt, or ouch, that was a hard saying, that was tough to swallow. If you do not want the obvious deeds of your flesh, because it says those who have those things, and I'm paraphrasing, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you choose to join a ministry that's going to allow you to stay in the obvious deeds of the flesh and to forsake your inheritance in the kingdom, then you have to ask yourself, do you really want to be in the kingdom for real?
Come on.
Because this is what it's going to require. It's going to require you to give up those things. It's going to require you to quit fornicating. It's going to require you to quit stealing. It's going to require you to quit gossiping. It's going to require you to quit being a busybody. It's going to require you to quit being jealous. It's going to require you to come up to another level that's uncomfortable. It's going to require you to quit being messy.
Come on.
It's going to require you to change a lot of things that we accept as part of people, or part of being people. It's going to require you to quit procrastinating. It's going to require you to be held accountable.
Come on.
So ask yourself, are you sure you really want to move forward and enter into the kingdom?
Uh-huh.
Because this is going to be your initial price that you pay. The obvious needs of the flesh. Now another one. And Apostle, I know this is a big one. I'm going to let you take this one for a while. Do not join a ministry just because you see a need or opportunity that might result in you having a position.
Come on now. I want to say this real quick. There are many people joining churches so that their gifts can be used instead of genuinely wanting to be discipled while growing in their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. I don't care how accurate you are. I don't care how good you are at what you do. You still, when joining a ministry, if God sends you there or that ministry is good for where God is taking you, you have to be in the position of a disciple. You ain't called there to introduce nothing new, because there's some people that be going there trying to save these ministries and stuff like that. And honestly, if the pastor don't get it, for you to introduce something new that the pastor ain't with in the congregation, that is rebellion. That is out of order. If God send you to a ministry, it ain't just to use your gifts, it's to be discipled first. And then through your discipleship and your submission, then you'll be in a position where your gifts can be used. Lord, have mercy today. There are too many people that's wanting to join ministries just so that their gifts can be used. If you don't want to be a disciple of that leader, then your so-called membership in that church is pointless. You ain't supposed to be teaching the pastor. The pastor's supposed to be teaching you. Oh, I know some folks don't like that. Some folks don't like that. Not saying that the pastor can't learn something new from you, but that leader is the instructor. I ain't getting too many amens right there, but that's all right. There are many people trying to join ministries with their own vision. Lord, did I just go there today? I did. There are too many people trying to join ministries with their own vision.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with having a vision, but you're first called to help build the vision of that leader.
Uh-oh.
God will not give you your own until you've learned to be faithful over that which has been entrusted to another.
Yes.
See, we already coming into ministry with our own stuff. And some folks be coming to us, you know, oh, I got this going on, I got that going on. And some folks be trying to come to us, seeing if they want to be held accountable. And once they realize that they can't come and introduce their stuff in our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying you can't use your gifts, but we gotta discern your gift and see where it fit.
That's it.
Not you coming to introduce a whole new culture. Not you coming to try to save us.
Mm-hmm.
some people have come to our ministry. God told me to come help y'all. Okay, we'll gladly receive the help, but I gotta see your submission level.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta see if you're consistent. Good God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me that God called me to come and help you, we'd be some we already wealthy people, but we'll be even more wealthy people. Amen. I have about a couple hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You're not called to come and to introduce your own ministry. You're called to be discipled by that leader, raised up in your gift, and released in your ministry from under that leader.
Mm.
At the appointed time. Because, see, some of y'all think y'all mature, y'all ain't mature.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all think y'all grand and y'all this and y'all that, and y'all ain't nothing.
You're not.
Some of you think that you are someplace high in the spirit. You think God is dealing with you so deep, and what you think is deep is Lord have mercy. Mm. Basic.
Mm.
Lord have mercy. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. Hallelujah. So stop trying to bring your gifts and your big, bright ideas, you see what I'm saying, and learn the house first. Learn the operations of the house. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, apostle or pastor, you know, this is some of the things that the Lord has given me. There's nothing wrong with seeking consultation from your pastor concerning your ministry, your gifts, and seeing, you know, the prophetic insight that they can give you. There's nothing wrong with that. That goes to show that you're submitting your gift.
Mm-hmm.
But some people come in expecting to change the whole culture of the church. You're out of order. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say that, and every time somebody has tried to do that, it has ended up failing. Why? Because it's not God what you're doing.
Mm.
And these people be swaying up and down, they be hearing God. And you can't convince them of nothing different, so I don't say nothing to them. I just know that they're going to bump their head, and I let them bump their head.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't tell them nothing different. Mm-hmm. From what they already believe God said. No, you just see a need, or you see something that's lacking, and you figure that's your opportunity to come in and introduce something and to bring something new in.
Mm.
Lord have mercy.
Wow. And that's so true. And here's the thing about that apostle. You may come into a ministry, and there may very well be a need, but that doesn't mean God ordained you to be the one to meet the need.
Come on, say that again.
So here's the thing, that, because I'm going to help you all. I'm going to help you all understand this from the leadership point. You know, the leader may not always say this, but I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. If there's a need for something, chances are the leader is aware of that need. Especially a part of an apostolic and prophetic ministry, there's a good, when you're coming along saying that you can do this and you can feel this, and they may say, well, you know, I appreciate the help, but you know, that's okay, but thank you anyway, however they package that. And you might walk away offended. Well, I mean, clearly this is a need. They clearly don't have nobody doing this. If you're a part of an apostolic and prophetic ministry, there's a good chance God, did you ever just think that God may have prophesied to them and let them know who was coming to fill that spot?
Thank you.
There's a good chance that they would already, see, because apostolic and prophetic people associate with other apostolic and prophetic people. So just Amen. Like you get a word about a job that's coming, or a person that's coming, or a husband or a wife that's coming, did it ever dawn on you that that leader might have received a word on more than one occasion, and in a description, might even have gotten a name of who is coming to fill that slot where you're seeing that this might be a need or an opportunity for you to come release your ministry? And you're like, well, why they didn't choose me? They clearly need somebody. There's a pretty good chance that God may have already let them know who was coming, and you just weren't, though you might be qualified or capable to fit that spot, you're not the God-ordained person to fit that spot.
Come on.
This is what we need to understand. Because, in a properly structured ministry, that is especially one that is flowing in the prophetic, there should be a set prophet in that house. There can be more than one, but there should be at least one person that's designated as the senior prophet. And whoever that person is should be able to discern the times and the seasons for that ministry and the direction that's going on. So they should be in a place where they are constantly hearing from the Father on what is to be on the times and seasons to be implemented to assist that senior leader, if they're not the senior leader themselves, on what to implement, who to put in place, because of the authority given to that prophetic voice in that house.
Mm-hmm.
So you may come in and say, but you need somebody here. But you don't know what it is God has released to that senior prophetic voice or that senior apostolic voice to say, well, no, yes, there's a need here, but you are not the one to fill it. That may be a season of growing pain for that ministry. God may have spoke to them and said, yes, you have a need, but I'm training you. I'm trying to do this and this. Y'all going to have to go without in this area until such and such gets here, or until such and such is perfected in you.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what has been already set forth prophetically in that ministry when you walk through that door. Those leaders do, some of the other leadership do, and maybe even some of the people do, but you don't know what was previously spoken prophetically and predestined for that house.
Come on.
For you to bring in with your happy self, happy sanctified self, trying to introduce something new and say that you were pretty much, that you just think that you're an answer to some prayer.
Come on, say that.
That you are God's gift to that ministry to fulfill their sorrowful growing pain. And God did not call you to do so. Sit down and have a sanctified, certified seat. You need some humility. Because we don't understand. Tell people all the time, God is not slow.
He sure ain't.
So you come into a ministry, but they don't have this. Do you not think that God was aware of that before he sent you there? That doesn't mean he sent you to fill that spot. Because, see, this is how we get people, Apostle, busy doing ministry but still out of divine alignment for their lives.
Come on.
Because they want to meet a need, meet it, and there's nothing wrong with having a heart for service. And no, this is not everybody, but there are people in the body like this. There's nothing wrong with having a heart for service, but you may have a heart to do something that God never called you to do.
Uh-huh.
We have to understand that. You know, I knew somebody one time, you know, they were always thrown in a role of a deacon-like role. Every ministry they went to, they were a deacon. They were a deacon, or they were used in a deacon-like state. So they felt like they were called to be a deacon everywhere they went.
Uh-huh.
See, we have to understand what people speak over us or what people put us in, the positions people put us in, and we get comfortable serving in a specific capacity. We feel like, well, that's what I've been doing all this time. That must be what God called me to. No. That has to be broken off of your life. Once you do find the place you're supposed to be in, that leader needs to break that cycle off of your life. Because that's where you develop a turbulence in the spirit. Because you're putting yourself in a position and your spirit man is fighting against and resisting that because you're in a position that the Father never ordained for you to be in the first place.
Uh-huh.
And we have too many people that's been doing something all their lives or all their walk or that's all they know. But God never called you to do that.
Come on.
Deacons. There are some of these deacons, apostles, that need to be raised up to be apostles and prophets.
Come on.
But because they've been stuck as deacons for so long, they feel like that's all they know and that's all God called them to.
Come on.
Stephen was getting ready to walk into apostleship before they stoned him.
Come on.
He started out as a deacon with great faith, but yes, God took him from a deacon to getting ready to walk into apostleship. You don't have to go through all the offices, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you.
God was getting ready to transition him into apostleship. He got a standing ovation from heaven as they stoned him.
Come on.
Some of y'all are stuck in these positions. You need to be raised up. There's some of these musicians. Some of y'all are stuck behind these microphones, stuck behind these drums, stuck behind these keyboards. God is calling you to something greater.
Come on.
You need to come up and raise somebody else up to help replace that position so you can move on and be freed up to preach the word. So you can be freed up to evangelize. Some of y'all have been doing something since y'all were little boy, little girl in church, and that's all you know. But God is saying, I have placed a greater destiny upon your life in this season. And when you go join a ministry, you need to go join a ministry with a leader that has enough discernment and sight in the realm of the spirit to see that God is calling you greater, not to just stick you where you've always been. God is calling many of you higher. He's saying, I have more for you this season, son. I have more for you this season, daughter. Rise up out of the place of comfortability and set yourself on the destiny path that I have ordained for you, says the Lord. We let people just stick us somewhere and we get in a place of comfortability that we come to a place where we stop discerning and praying and seeking God for where we're supposed to belong. It's time out for that. And leaders, hear me in the spirit. If you keep holding these people back because you need a musician or because you need a deacon or because you need an armor bearer, God is going to judge you for that. Because you're holding up these people's destiny and the destiny on the lives of the people that they're supposed to touch because of your inconvenience.
Mm.
Release that man or woman of God and trust God to send you another one that's faithful. My God.
Yes.
Moving on. Do not join a ministry just because the leader gave you an accurate word at their meeting or another meeting.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I have seen this so many times. Well, I was at so-and-so church and they came, they was the guest speaker and they came in and gave me a word and I knew, no. By all means, feel free to visit that leader. Definitely take them a seed and sow into them if they gave you a life-changing destiny type word that caused a major shift in your life. By all means, go visit them, take them a seed, do that. Show your honor to that because that sets your whole life and destiny on path. But I've had people, my God, give me a life-changing word, but God never ordained for me to join their ministry.
Amen.
That word set me on a right path. That word confirmed what I was dealing with at that time. And that word brought a lot of clarity that brought me into where I was supposed to be in ministry at that time. But nevertheless, God never ordained for me to join that person's ministry. Now, I'm not saying this never happens, but there's a lot of times we get to be prophetic junkies, and we chase an accurate prophetic word because it's something that's like water to our dry soul.
Yes.
So we chase that word But all the while, that accurate word has come from an accurate mouthpiece, a God divine mouthpiece. But nonetheless, that mouthpiece, in terms of leadership and watching over your soul, either they don't have what it takes in the capacity to watch over your soul, or you just weren't assigned to them.
Come on.
And this is something that you all have to understand. When we're picking ministries to join and say, oh, I want to be your son or your daughter. Honestly, God will speak to that leader and let them know.
Yes.
That you're supposed to be a part of their ministry, or you're supposed to be a son or a daughter to them. Everybody's not just going to jump just because you say, oh, I want to be a son. I want to be accountable. I want to be a part of your ministry. That may be your desire because there's a need there. Because you sense a fathering, a mothering spirit, and you're like, okay, well, I feel this drawing. I feel this connecting. But just because they have a father, a mother in capacity, and you are in need in that area, does not mean that that person is necessarily set for you.
I remember... I'm pretty sure you remember too. There was this lady that wanted me to be her father so bad. Wanted me to be her spiritual father so bad. And I just was not hearing that from the Lord. You know, I didn't ignore. You know, I did take the time to minister to her, even over the telephone. But you know, I didn't respond to her the way that she wanted me to. And she said, how is it that you seem so less concerned? I said, you know, she told me, she said, you're supposed to be a father. You know, you don't have a concern for somebody that's in need. You don't have the heart of a father. And I said, hold up. I said, I'm still praying about you now. You know, because when she first, you know, initially came to me, you know, she came to me because she saw the revelation that I walked in.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
She saw the revelation that I walked in, the signs and wonders and miracles that I walked in. And she wanted to be in covenant with that, but, you know, God had somebody else for her. You know, so I'm saying all of that to say this. You, when it comes to, you know, choosing a church or being under a leader, you have to make sure that person is grace for you. Amen. That person has to be grace for you. I was not grace for that lady.
Amen.
And ain't no shame in admitting it. I want grace for her. I wasn't assigned to her.
Mm-hmm.
But being that I was a spiritual father, she thought that I was supposed to be her spiritual father. Let me tell you something. Every spiritual father is not your spiritual father. You have to find the one that's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, boy. Do not join a ministry just because the praise and worship sounds good. Now, I have several problems with this that I need to address, so you all just bear with me. First and foremost, when you come to a ministry, that praise and worship leader or group or ministers, they're not the ones that's going to watch over your soul.
Mm-hmm.
That pastor or that apostle or that prophet or whoever's overseeing that ministry, that's who's going to watch over your soul, not the lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
So people will join a ministry where the pastor, he all right, or I can't stand him, but I like this praise and worship. Okay, but that person you can't stand or that's just all right or ain't all the way there, that's who's going to give an account to God on your behalf and watch over your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of the praise and worship, if you're not comfortable with the leader, then you don't need to join that ministry because the leader is the one who's going to watch over your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Not the praise and worship team.
Come on.
The leader. Not the praise and worship team. And here's another one. So what happens when whoever's leading the praise and worship, whether it's the leader or the group or a particular individual, what happens when God moves them on to another ministry? Their season is up. They're elevated and that leader released them somewhere else. Then what you going to do? So because that praise, when your favorite singer is not at that ministry no more, now your season is up to go somewhere else too?
Mm. Come on.
Because you joined for the wrong reason in the first place, right? It was all about the praise and worship, so you got to go where the praise and worship going.
And some of the best sound in praise and worship, I mean, notice I said best sound, I didn't say anointed.
Mm-hmm.
Best sound in praise and worship come from homosexuals.
Uh-huh.
Some of y'all like them homosexual praise and worship teams and worship leaders. You know, and it clearly clearly they still got either residue on them from that lifestyle, or they still practicing that openly,
mm-hmm.
but in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you like to praise and worship. Some of these dudes be getting the eyebrows arched and everything, but
mm-mm.
you like to praise and worship.
Mm-mm. And I need you all to understand the severity of praise and worship. You know, next to your, the leader and whoever is the prophetic voice of that house, third after that, the praise and worship ought to be the most purest thing in that ministry.
Come on.
Because we have to understand, through praise and worship, there's a spirit that's being released through the praise and worship, just like it's being released through that leader who's preaching the word of God. So if you have somebody with an unclean spirit that's fornicating, sleeping around, masturbating, etc., etc., but they're in praise and worship, just like when somebody lays hands on you and they're not right, they're imparting something into you. When they're singing over that microphone, because we have to understand this in the realm of the spirit. Let's call this person John, just for the sake of conversation. Okay, so the pastor has released John to be leader over praise and worship. But John's lifestyle is all of the above that was forementioned. So every time John opens his mouth and releases a sound over that microphone, everything that's in his spirit is attached to that sound.
Uh-oh.
So you're saying, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I feel the spirit. So what you're doing, you're opening yourself up spiritually to receive whatever's in the atmosphere. But every time John opens his mouth, because the authority was delegated to him by his leader, mm-hmm. so he has the authority to release perversion in the atmosphere.
Come on, uh-oh.
So every time he's singing, you're saying, ooh, I receive it, I receive it. You're not just receiving the sounds, but you have to understand, attached to those sounds that are going into your ear gate and down into the seat of your soul, there's also perversion attached to that.
Come
because
on.
See, when he was fornicating the night before and moaning and hollering, all that's attached to his voice too.
Come on, come on, say it.
So when you open yourself up to receive his voice, you're receiving everything that's attached to that voice. But then we wonder why we go to a ministry and we seem more messed up than when we came in the door before.
Uh-oh.
Well, we were fine when we went to church that morning, but then we come home and now we having all kinds of thoughts and we're struggling and having a moment and we're trying to pray stuff off. It's because you're sitting under defiled worship.
Come on.
And I'm tired of this mess, Apostle, because this gold, we have too many people being ruined by the worship.
Come on, come on,
and joining the ministry with a pure heart. And the worship is so defiled and perverted that it's causing the people to stumble, and they don't know why. You're fine, and all of a sudden you're struggling. You're fine, and all of a sudden you're having a hard time. Check that leader. Check the worship that's going on in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that worship is not pure, and you're sitting under a defiled sound that's being released into your spirit,
mm-hmm.
then that's what's causing you to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying we don't have our own things. I'm not saying everything is praise and worship's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of times, especially in these charismatic churches now, the new things that have a lot of these praise teams and things like this
yeah.
that go around and do all this music, there are some defilement there.
Come on.
It's not a whole lot.
Come on.
So we have to understand when people, just like you don't want nobody lay, you don't want the leader laying hands on you and they've been sleeping around and cheating on their wife and stuff. So why you want to sit there and lift your hands and open your spirit to receive worship from somebody that's fornicating and sleeping around and masturbating?
Uh-oh, come on.
It has the potential to have the same effect on your spirit.
Come on.
Do not join a ministry just because of the praise and worship. And I submit this to you too. Watch this. If the praise and worship sound that good to you, and you feel like you, it's just something about it, but you, and its chances are, the lust that's in them is identifying with the lust that's in you.
Uh-oh.
And that's why it just sounds so good and you just can't shake it. Because there's a familiar spirit there that's stirring up that familiar spirit that's inside of you. And yes, I just went there. So this is, we have to have a discerning eye. When we discern which ministry do I want to join, because the praise and worship is not enough to cut it. Again, what is feeding your spirit? You do not want your spirit in a state of anorexia because you're praise and worship, but there's no meat and potatoes there to satisfy you when it comes to the nature of the word. We have to become more discerning people of God. We have to become more and more discerning. Now I'm going to go over another one. Another thing to look at when discerning which ministry to join. Do not join a ministry just because you agree with everything that's being said. Let me say that again. And I know that's throwing some people off. Do not join a ministry just because you agree with everything that's being said. If you agree with everything that comes out of that leader's mouth down to the T, there's a good chance that you're in the wrong place. See, because when you are under true leadership that's designed to challenge you, that's designed to make you uncomfortable, that's designed to deal with your flesh, that's designed to challenge you to go higher in your faith, that's designed to cause you to go higher in your destiny, initially coming through that door, you are not going to agree with everything that leader says. You're not going to agree with everything that they teach right off the bat. There are some things you're not going to understand. Some things are going to be uncomfortable. And some things are even going to cut you because it's identifying those things in your flesh that need to be cut off. Too many times we were, amen, amen, I agree with everything that's being said. So either you're in the wrong place or you're in the right place and you're not really listening with a discerning ear and taking heed to what's being said. Because see, some people have a religious spirit where they amen everything that sounds good without really taking the time to hear and to listen and comprehend and understand the content of what's being released. Make sure you understand what's being said, because the place that God sends you to and says, this is the place where I want you to be in, this is the place that's going to grow you and it's going to develop you and bring you to a place of maturity, the chances are, 9 times out of 10, that is not the place where you're going to like everything that's being said. That's going to be the place that's going to be uncomfortable. That's going to be the place that's going to be challenging. That's going to be the place where you don't like everything that's going to be said. Sometimes we get into these situations where we're saying, I can't be a part of this ministry. I don't like this. Sometimes you just want to run. A lot of time the ministry you want to run from is the ministry you need to sit yourself down in and be accountable so you can gain some deliverance and be processed for your destiny. A lot of times we run because we don't want to be processed. Oh, they always getting on me. They're always doing it. Yes, there's a such thing as abusive leadership, and I'm not denying that. We do have those unfortunate cases. But I'm talking about you don't like it and you're trying to run because it don't feel good. Every time I go, the word has got to deal with something that I was just dealing with this week. That's good. You need to hear it. Don't run and feel like that ain't the ministry for you just because the word always touching on something you did last week.
Uh-oh.
And let me say this. I got to say this, Apostle.
Come on.
I say this with all sincerity. Your leader is not studying your life all week long to come up with a message about you.
Thank you.
You have some leaders that unfortunately preach on people, but look at the small margin out of all the leaders in the American church. Mm-hmm. There are plenty more. That's probably like a 0.5% that preach about people all the time. Your leader has a lot of times, especially if your leader is married and has a family and children, they have other things to do than to study you all week long just to preach about you. So the word is making you uncomfortable. You're like, dang, you got an argument with somebody the day before and this happened. And then the leader come on about giving soft answers. Why they got to be all up in my business? And here's something to ponder on. Being that the Lord knows everything, did you ever think the Lord might see what you're dealing with and see what a couple of other people's dealing with and speak to that leader to preach a message on that nature because he knows it's not only going to help you but other people in that ministry? Because it might be 6 or 7 of y'all that have that same issue.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in prayer that God released that type of word to that leader so it can cut you. So it can help you. So it can address your issues and help you grow. Did you ever consider that?
Come on.
A lot of times the ministry that's for you is going to make you uncomfortable. You're going to have seasons where, okay, amen, amen. Oh, wait, hold on. I don't like that. Why? It's going to cut you. It's going to cut you for the purposes of pruning you to help you grow.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back on, we're going to have some closing remarks before we open up the lines for prayer and prophetic ministry. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We are back from taking our break, still on the topic of discerning what church to join. Apostle, did you have any closing remarks you want to add before we open these lines up?
I would like to remind you all, those of us who are in the local area know, if you go to my Facebook page and go to my cover photo, you'll see where Apostle Sean Morris is coming down here. Amen. On June 6th, 7th, and 8th. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, this is going to be a time of miracles, signs, wonders, accurate prophetic ministry, all of that. Amen. If you really, you know, need to be refreshed in the Lord, or if you need a miracle yourself, or you know somebody else who need a miracle, whatever the case may be, bring them. Bring yourself. Amen. Many signs and wonders follow, you know, our ministries. And I'm not saying come just for the signs and the wonders, because the signs and the wonders just prove who God is. Mm. Amen. God will show up and he will move. Amen. So mark your calendars for June 6th, 7th, and 8th and make plans to be there. And also, if you're in the local area, amen, if you're in the peninsula area, Tidewater, 757, or wherever, whatever else they call it, amen, because they got a lot of names for it, Hampton Roads, if you're in those areas, definitely, you don't want to miss our local services. If you don't have anything else to do at 4 o'clock on Sunday, definitely meet us there. That information is also on our Facebook pages. Amen. If you go to Spirit of Elijah Ministries Facebook page, you'll see that as well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to open up the lines if anybody had any prayer requests at this time. So the lines are open. If you have a prayer request or need prayer for something, feel free to go ahead and speak. Nobody desires prayer at this time? Amen. Amen. Well, if nobody desires prayer, we're going to go ahead and close out. Thank you all again for joining us for our broadcast. Soon we will be posting the link to our website so you all will be able to look at our calendar, and we will have the dates and times of all the upcoming broadcasts. You definitely do not want to miss this. And also we'll have the links available for those of you if you heard it or you came in late, or you know somebody that came on and they had to go early, that they can get the message and even download it to an iPod, cell phone, or any other mobile device and take that message with you and listen. Or if you know somebody that couldn't make it, take that message to them and go play it for them so they can receive this word. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this Advancing the Kingdom radio broadcast on tonight. Father, we thank you for the revelation, the truth, the clarity, and the exposure that went forth tonight, Father God. Father, to edify your people and to bring them in the proper understanding, Father God. We thank you that your people are now more equipped to know where it is that you wish to have them planted, Father God, so that they can grow and be nurtured and in due season be released into their kingdom destiny to walk into their divine assignment, Father God, to advance your kingdom, Father God, here on the earth. Father, I pray, Father God, that this word would be sealed into every individual, Father God. Any adversity that may come against them, Father, that this word would be hidden into their hearts, Father God, and embedded into the subconscious of their mind. Father God, that as they go about, those who may still be in transition, searching for a ministry to join, Father God, Father, let their spirit be quickened, Father God. If they're not in the right place, let those alarms and those red flags go off, Father God. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will be assisting them and helping them to discern which ministry they are to join. And Father, we thank you for everything that went forth tonight, Father God. And Father, I even pray healing and that the Holy Spirit would minister healing and deliverance to those who have been church hurt, to those who have been hurt in previous ministry, to those who have had a lot of damage and are fearful in their transition. They're vulnerable and they're wounded in their transition. Father, that they would be ministered to and that you would keep them covered, so the wolves in sheep's clothing will not try to come snatch them up and take them off the course that you have for them, Father. We thank you and we speak divine destiny into the lives of the people, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you all for joining us tonight. Again, look for those notices and those things going out for when we will have our next broadcast. We thank you. God bless you all. We love you all. Be blessed, and you all have a good night. Every day with you, Jesus, and to you.